Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. The girls would turn the color of an avocado when he'd drive down the street in his El Dorado. Why, he was only 5'3". Girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. New York. Girls get called an asshole. This did not happen to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not around here. Not like you.
To annoy you and make things generally irritating.
The BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
It's clobbering time.
News for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now.
Jack and shit. And Jack left town.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Yo, she bitch. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go, ho.
Ho, ho. Welcome, 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 my good friends and buddies, all who are here so far and the ones listening in the future, which means archived listeners, because we always do so many archived listeners that, at least more than you'd think. Anyway, welcome everyone to Clobberin' Time Thursday night open geek nonsense. That's right. Open geek is just our way of saying we don't have a goddamn topic. That's just the kind of guys, that's why we roll around here. We just do it off the cuffy. That's right. No, it just means we're too damn lazy to come up with a topic and spend all kind of time researching it and all that kinds of whatever it is. Anyway, welcome everyone. Issue number 384. At least I think it is. Text didn't mail me the numbers, but I think it is. Text, if you're hearing this on the archive, buddy, you didn't email me the numbers. I'm concerned for your well-being. Anyway. Yeah, not like the texter. Oh, well. But I think that's what it is, 384. And as always, here at Clobberin' Time on the Grenache Network on Blog Talk Radio, we come at you straight from the Baxter Building basement, which, as we all know right now, is secretly located in the Isle of Misfit Toys and solely owned and operated by the Legion of Doom and its secret security branch, the Kirby Commandos, over both of which I, BJ Grimm, the ever-loving Brown, I think, proudly preside as Supreme Commandant and Absolute Ruler. And here we are on the Grenache Network, of course, and there's our good buddy Commodore Decker, Master of Ceremonies of the Grenache Network, and of course, Commander-in-Chief of Possum Hour, which comes at you every fine Monday and Friday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern. Great, fun, crazy, eclectic recordings, cool people to hang out and have good conversations with in the wildest chat room on BTR. Commodore Decker joined, of course, by the lovely and fabulous Reverend Wendy. Hi, Wendy. And the great R.J. Gumby and Malt Liquor Man and Carl and all that stuff. Again, Monday nights, Friday nights, Possum Hour. And it may be soon to be renamed the Clue Gallagher Show. Because Clue Gallagher makes 84 tomorrow, Decker. I guess you knew that, though, your buddy, your hero. That man you love. Let's face it. Anyway, the man you love, Decker. But anyway, and of course, Sunday nights, it's Dirty Sons of Pitches, 9 p.m. Eastern here. Crazy movie pitch show. And, yep, happy birthday, Clue. Man, he's hanging tough, isn't he? Looks good, too. I saw a picture of him today. Anyway, welcome my good friends who are here with us tonight. Of course, the great Cobrat Clutch Live, my dear friend from many, 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 many moons ago. Good to see you. And longtime pal, the great Cobrat Clutch Live. Again, Commodore Decker and Reverend Wendy from Boston Hour, and of course, Clobberin' Time's best pal, Trekkie Gal. TG, love ya. Always glad to see ya. Yeah, Decker, I saw that flash up on Facebook there. And old Clue, man, he's hanging tough. He really is. He and the Virginian, man. He and the Clue and the Foreman are just hanging out there, man. That's great. Good old fellers. They've been showing Acid Rock Radio, you old rascal. Good to see you, buddy. Hey, Decker, by the way, they show Virginian on the Inspiration Channel now. Which I flip to every now and then because they're showing that in Big Valley and High Chaparral. And I haven't seen High Chaparral in a long time, so I've been kind of watching those whenever I can flip over to it. But they're showing Virginian on there, and Drury's doing commercials for him and everything now, and it's always cool to see him on there. I don't know if you've seen that or not. But, you know, it's always just – it's just something about it. Something so cool to see him still out there and, you know, putting himself out there and everything. It's pretty cool. Okay, don't get inspiration. It's on, yeah, I have it on DirecTV. Anyway, it's I always thought it was kind of like a Jesus type channel, but hell, they run a lot of old TV shows. And I hadn't seen High Chaparral in a long time. Like I said, I don't know. It's kind of, you know, just High Chaparral may not have been the best one or anything, but I'm kind of enjoying it a little bit. Oh, cool. Are you gonna see him again? So is he gonna go to that? A buddy of mine's going to that show for Western, whatever it is, that thing in Tennessee the past couple of years that has Western stars. Oh, that's cool. You can try to see him again. That's great. He's been going to the one, was it Memphis? I think it's one in Memphis, or is it, yeah, maybe Memphis. And he's enjoyed that one. That'd be a fun thing to go to. That'll be loads of fun there. One of these days might get to go to it. Oh, well. Acid, I was, you know, it's Sunday, so I'm usually in church, which means I'm watching NFL football. That's my church on Sundays. So I didn't see it, but I flipped over it a couple times to the Firefly Marathon. And, of course, I love Firefly so much. Even a few seconds of Firefly is great. But, man, I'm sitting there, and I watched them over and over again on my DVDs. And before that, my tapes when I would rewind, you know, with the commercials cut out. Watching Firefly with commercials is really aggravating. Watching any show with commercials is aggravating, but you're used to it. If it's a show you've watched 10 billion times, you know, on a DVD, Ian? Oh, Ian, well, say hi to Ian for me. Cool. Say hi to Ian there for me, TG. Yeah, man, seeing Firefly Marathon, and I put it on there for a while. Love Firefly. I haven't seen the Firefly special yet, but I've recorded it and going to be watching that this, you know, tonight or next night. But it was cool to see. I'm glad they were doing a marathon, even if it is this weird place for it, the Science Channel. But, is Ian doing a show right now on TG? Is Ian doing his show? Hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw the notice. I just got home so late I didn't get a can. I mean, I just saw the notice after it was too late that he was doing a show. He does a show just a little bit earlier than I get home, TG. Otherwise, I miss being able to join Ian's shows. Hopefully I'll get to it eventually. Oh, let's see, Acid Rock Radio. Yeah. No, you didn't ask for my opinion on commercials and broadcasting, but you know what? You don't have to ask for things around here. You get them whether you ask for them or not. They roll around here. And I don't know what else to say to that. Oh, man. I wish we'd had a theme. Oh, and by the way, it was the other night when I was on TG. I planned to go see Skyfall and didn't get a chance to see it. So I'm going to have to wait this weekend. I was going to do a review of it and everything. But what can you do? Yeah, I didn't get to see that yet, Cobra, the reunion roundtable, but I plan to see it. I plan to see it soon, so hopefully. I keep putting things in the wrong place here. Next Tuesday night, you know, obviously it'll be the last show before Thanksgiving. Won't be doing a show. That's right. Thanksgiving's next week, right? Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, I got it now. So next, I got distracted myself. Next Thursday night, it'll be the Thanksgiving, Tuesday night, since we won't be doing one Thanksgiving night, obviously, because, you know, who wants to do a show on Thanksgiving when you could be, you know, eating leftover turkey and watching football? So we're going to do like I've done before. What geek thing are you thankful for? And, man, that's going to be a tough one for me because, man, it's not much to be thankful for geek-wise anymore. I don't buy any new comic books anymore. A really strange thing happened to me. And, see, you know, Decker, I know you used to buy comics at some point. And I don't know when you stopped or when any – a lot of us here – I mean, Cobra, I know, bought comics for a while at one point. I mean, everyone, a lot of us here at one point or another were regular comic book buyers. Most people always that you run into quit in the late 90s. Well, I don't blame you at all, man. Most people you run into, though, Decker, you know, because I was in the comic book business for a long time, and most of them have – an origin story with their comic collecting that runs along these similar lines. Not all now, but most of them will tell you. I used to buy comics, and I got out of it about 10, 15 years ago. Now I'm just getting back, or just got back into it a couple of years ago. I quit because X, Y, Z. They'll have some, usually, I started going to school. I just kind of got out of it. Couldn't afford it as much, so I dropped it. You know, started chasing girls and didn't mess with it as much. Whatever the reason. Almost a certain percentage of people most of the ones you will talk to, I mean, ones who may have been collecting over the past couple of years will say there was always been that gap. They'll say, yeah, I stopped for a long time and I got back into it. That has happened a lot with your, I'm talking about your comic shop going consumer. But I'm one of those that doesn't have that. Ever since I was able, old enough, even before I was old enough, but when I was old enough to get on a bicycle, take my hard-earned allowance money, ride down to the 7-Eleven, hit the Hey Kids at Comics spinner rack, grab a Slurpee, you know, first grab three or four comics and save just enough to have a Slurpee with a superhero on the cup, or maybe some other kind of snack or some shite like that. I bought comics on a regular basis. Before there were comic shops, I bought comics every week. When I helped start the first comic shop in Baton Rouge in the early 80s, 1981 and 2, and on up from there, I bought comics every week. Toward the end, you know, when I started doing other things for a while, I still bought comics every week. When I had my own comic shop later, you know, in other words, there you go. And then when I got out of the business for good, even the times I was out of the business and then back into it, I bought comics on a regular basis. Sometimes I would get down to one or two, three titles, you know, just couldn't find anything to interest me, and I would get down to a few titles. But there was always something. It was, in other words, I was a regular comic book buyer going to the comic shops every week. I didn't have to be necessarily every week. Sometimes, you know, you wait a couple of weeks to go grab your books. But you know what I'm saying. I was a regular comic book buyer. Sometimes more titles than others, but I was a comic book collector. I'll just say comic book buyer, collector. Yeah, because they sit around, they take up space, and you're collecting them in that sense. But you know, they canceled your account, Decker. That does happen sometimes, man. But so I guess since about, I don't know, somewhere in the early part of the 70s. 71, 72, whatever it was, until around May or so of this year. And the beginning of the end was the DC relaunch. But somewhere around, I don't know, May or April, May or maybe June or whatever this year, I just stopped cold turkey, not premeditated, mind you. You know, the DC relaunch was filth, and I didn't touch one bit of that ever. And so Marvel had kind of chased me away with their stupid-ass, you know, Civil War and then Secret Invasion and shit like that. But I kind of went back, you know, after the relaunch, I decided to go pick up a couple of Marvels again just to see. You know, just to have something to read, and I was buying a few independent books here and there. Not much, but, you know, regular. I would go get my funny books every now and then. I was a regular comic shop, you know, buyer or frequenter. And then it's weird, man. This is weird to me. But I just finally ran. There were a couple of titles I sort of liked. The one where they killed Robin, that was 1980. 889, if you're talking about death in the family, TG. So, it's a weird thing for me because, and I guess that's if you look at the time, it's over 40, almost 44, 45 years, something along the lines where I could not conceive of a time when I would not go buy regular newly produced comic books. And so just a couple of months back, again, May, I guess, something like that, I was kind of going through the motions. I would go get my comics every couple of weeks. I'd go grab a few, and less comics started to appeal to me. There were a couple that I thought were okay. I was kind of, they were all. And I'm realizing these fuckers are $3 and $4 a pop now. They're $3 and $4 a pop now. They are. Average. And they're just not worth it. I was like, if there's a book I really, really, really have. Oh, by the way, I guess you could count, and this is sinful of me, Cobra Clutch Live, next time you see me, man, you could just pop me on the side of the head. But other than this one comic coming out now that I download onto my iPad, I used to be so against, oh, man, what kind of asshole downloads a comic on the iPad? But with my eyesight, which sucks so bad, welcome, RJ Gumby, good to see you there, buddy. But with my eyesight that sucks so bad, the iPad, it makes reading comics pretty amazing. And I've been downloading Doctor Who, Star Trek, The Next Generation over. It's been going on. It's kind of actually a good comic if you like Doctor Who. And, I'm not big on Next Generation, but it's Doctor Who. What can I tell you? But as far as going to a comic shop, collecting regular comic books or a few comic books or a handful or how many, I stopped. And this is the first time in my life. And I really didn't think about it that much. I visited a comic shop in Atlanta like I always do for Dragon Con, but didn't really, get anything there, but I bought some stuff at the comics. And, of course, I still buy back issues and trade paperbacks. I hear you there, Cobra. I hear you, man. But I don't know. It's weird for me. I lost it. I don't go to comic book shops to get new comic books anymore. Isn't that weird? Everybody else got audio okay without text to check me? I never know. Is TG the only one that lost it or what? Yeah. Thanks, Commodore. So it's a weird thing for me. It's kind of a straight and you know what? I didn't even think about it. I just stopped going. I really just stopped it. It's weird. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And just the past couple of weeks, it started dawning on me. I'm like, wow, man, my life, this is weird for me. For other people, no big deal. Because you were saying, Decker, you stopped in the late 90s. So it's no big deal for you now. And others who've stopped at certain points, even farther back than that, or even, how or whether. But when you did it for that long, 40-something years, and you just don't do it anymore, and you just didn't even think about it, it wasn't a conscious decision, you just got tired of comics. And you still, man, you know how much I love comics. There'd be no point doing this show or anything else, but if I didn't love my geek stuff, I still love old comics and classic comics, but comics are dead for me. I'm not saying for anyone else. There's still people who read. On my Baxter Building Basement page on Facebook, some of my good friends, like my good old buddy Steve Dom and Dan Robinson, they have a really great expert comics website. They review comics, a lot of new comics, and so they still are excited about comics and like them a lot. But I don't know. I can't get excited about them. I mean, not new ones? Hell yeah, man. I got tons of, when I was a Dragon Con, got tons of trade paperbacks. Classic stuff. I remember those EC reprints. Those are great stuff, Commodore. Absolutely. Greatness. So, It's a weird. It's weird, weird, weird stuff for me. Welcome, guest 11704. And I don't even know how to feel about it. I mean, it's actually I feel kind of crappy about it. But a number of years ago, when I was buying action figures like they were going out of style, I had to make a conscious decision, you know, because I don't make a whole lots of money, of course, as you could all imagine. So I had to say, all right, look, I'm buying too many damn comics, but I'm probably just not going to ever kick the habit of buying funny books every week or whatever it is. So action figures have got to go. I got to stop. That would be the greatest guest ever there, Cobra. That's for sure, man. Well, there you go, TG. Money's not something that hangs out with me much either. It makes two of us. But so, you know, I figured if I'm going to spend what little I can, like an idiot on comics, I shouldn't be doing that. I had to go cold turkey. They were coming out with some great action figures. Early part of the beginning of this century, man, I went nuts buying action figures. I still got most of them, the DC Direct line. And I had to stop. I'd make the rare exception. You know, and buy like a figure here and there if it was a character I really, really wanted to have. But most of all, kind of stayed back from it a little bit. And I just had to totally, you know, had to really, really cut back on the action figures. Well, I don't know. Now that lately I broke that a little bit with some of the Legion figures I've been getting, but now, I don't know. Since I can't come to comics, I can't buy new comics anymore. I guess I'd have to go back to, you know, when I do spend a little bit, and I'm going to this New Orleans convention coming up, I guess it's action figures again. You can't go wrong with an action figure if they put out one you like. You know, so other than reading that current, Doctor Who teaming up with Star Trek The Next Generation comic, which is pretty good, I must admit, on my iPad, man, comics are just, I don't know. They're not made for me anymore. It's a weird, weird thing. And it's funny, no one here that is here tonight is a regular comics buyer. Yeah, we're all geeks. We all have either loved comics at some point, loved Star Trek, and there are different other things. And yet, you know, nobody's buying comics. TG, you crack me up. It's a weird thing, I guess. Enough people are excited about those damn things. I still love the art form of comics. Yeah, absolutely, Cobra. I love the art form. I mean, it's a wonderful art form, words and pictures. And if you look at modern-day art anyway, that's very true. Desperate to see them do some newsprint ones. I would love to see that. You're right, TG. They're not T for teens anymore. You're right about that. No question about it. They're something else, but they're not for teens. I mean, for older teens anyway. They're aimed at this video game crowd, this bloodlusting video, short attention span, quick cut, loud and noise of nonsense crap. Video game crowd. That's what comic books are aimed at right now. Oh, my goodness, the great Russ Squatch Gould has popped in, my good Mego expert buddy. Russ Squatch, great to see you, pal. All right, man. Wayne Hall's popped in, too. Wayne. All right, Wayne, great to see you, buddy. Welcome. It's funny, now we actually have somebody here that does by Kurt Conner. Wayne, I was just... Just to briefly sum up, it's interesting that you popped in because I was just lamenting the fact that And I think you and I are of at least similar age, Wayne. I know we're close to the same age group. I was just to sum up quickly, without repeating myself too much. I was just talking how weird it is. I've been buying comics since I was a kid, riding my bicycle to the store in the early 70s. And up until about last May or so, okay, well, there you go, Wayne. We're close, man. I'm 48, so we're close enough to the same generation. Up until about last May or so, I was still buying, no matter how much I wasn't really liking them, I was buying new comics here and there, even a handful of them, and I just walked away. I stopped buying any comics at all. No problem, TJ. Always, you know, rant all you want there, babe. And I realized just recently, it wasn't a conscious decision, Wayne, but I just stopped buying comics. Stopped buying them. And there's nothing to interest me anymore. I can't. And I walked into a comic shop yesterday for the first time in 3 months because I was passing through New Orleans and it was a store I hadn't been to in a long, long time. I just thought I would pop in there and see if we had any action figures I wanted. And that I look at the comic rack and this sea of absolute shit that doesn't appeal to me. I can't stand any of it. And anyway, just to make it short, I was talking, Wayne, and I was saying, all these people we have in here, we're all still geeks. We all have loved comics at some point, and I don't have anybody in here who buys current comics. I mean, you pop in, because you do buy current comics. You like a walking previews, as I've always told you. So we do have one guy here who does buy a lot of current comics. And by the way, if you're enjoying them, you know, more power to you. I love the art form of comics, always will. It's just a strange... Wow, $100 a week, that'll get you about 20 or 30 comics now. No, maybe 10. Asia Argento, I love her. Well, you know, that's a good thing to watch there, RJ. She's fantastic. Oh, I love her. Anyway, so I was just saying, Wayne, that, man, it's a weird thing in my life now. It's like there's a lot of us here, you know, have, you know, stopped buying at some point. And I never did stop until now. In this, I mean, other than technically, like I said, I'm downloading Star Trek: Next Generation and Doctor Who on my iPad. Other than that, I follow no current comic books. So, now it's reruns crap. Now, what I have done recently, Wayne, is I've gone to the Barnes and Scrotum a couple of times on a number of occasions and opened up some of those relaunched filthy comics. And that stuff by Snyder, that Batman and Robin, all those Batman titles are horrible. That's not my Batman. And all the relaunch is filth to me. And I read a few of them because I wanted to, I got tired of, I wanted to just really, could they be as bad as I thought? As bad as they look, could they be as badly written as I thought? And, yeah, to me, they're filth. But I hear you. And if anybody wants, there's a recommendation from Wayne. Don't listen to me if you want to read any current comics. Wayne is a guy who knows what's going on in them because he reads them. So, and to me, man, I'm sitting there, and I'm almost in tears in a way. But see what has happened to comic books. And what they're doing and the filthy depravity of what they're doing with Batman and Superman and a lot of these other characters with the DC reruns is beneath contempt. And what they've done with the Joker, what you just mentioned, the Joker, Wayne, everything, man, it's just, I mean, that's part of the problem. So I have gone to, like, the bookstores every now and then and looked at some of these books and read a couple off the stand there to see, you know, am I missing anything? And man, it's just not for me. It's wow. It's absolutely repellent. My Batman would never have sex with Catwoman on a roof within his costume. I would have sex with Catwoman in a costume, but Batman, the real Batman, wouldn't do that. It's all softcore porn and bloodbath drivel, and it's turning, you know, Batman's a crazed loon, and now he's not the character, not the Batman I knew, and I can't get into it. But what can you do? Again, they're not making these things for me. Well, Cobra, that's what I said. I would too, but we know Bat to the Rib would never do that. Well, Russ Squatch Gould, let me tell you something, buddy. He probably has or will molest Robin at some point if the reruns, you know, idiots have their say. So what can I tell you? He probably will. And who knows? He may have it. I just didn't hear about it yet. But, yeah, I mean, see, think, you know, Bruce Wayne can get all the trim he wants. But he would never do that in the Batman costume. When he's Batman, he's all business. Friggin' Acid Rock Radio. Yes, we can always trust Acid Rock Radio to find a good perspective on this. But, Wayne, I do agree with you. The Star Trek The Next Generation Doctor Who thing is pretty good. It's, I'm not a big fan of Left Generation, of course, of Dead Penetration. Left Gen, as Tex likes to call it. Dead Penetration, as I've often called it. But, you know, it's the Matt Smith Doctor, and it takes place during the time of the TV series. And, it's pretty good. It's well done, interesting art. It's a pretty good story so far. You know, figures that they would have to have the Cybermen and the Borg, you know, they couldn't, you know. It's one of those things, I guess it's the kind of thing, if they're going to have a big epic crossover like that, they would use the most popular of their nemesis. But it's pretty well done. Yes, they did. I really love that one that had Kirk, you know, the old style Cybermen and Kirk and the Fourth Doctor. That was cool stuff. What in the hell? What? Oh. The superheroes get super STDs. You know what, Decker? I'm sure they do. And if they're going to get an STD, it should be super. You know, I mean, of course, everyone knows that, right? You got it, TG. They are. Hey, what you going to do, though? I mean, things change, and, you know, I admire Wayne for not being such an old fogey like me. Good for him. I just, I can't, that stuff just sucks to me. But, like I say, if you're getting some enjoyment out of it, more power to you. Then, now, with me, it's just, I mean, it's probably almost forever going to be back issues. The Joker's a unique eunuch. but anyway, yeah, it's going to be back issues from now on, though. You know, trade paperbacks, older comics, you know. I'm not sure they're ever going to get me to come back to the comic store and buy anything on the regular. And they don't care, by the way. Old Justice League episodes are great. That was a great show. I bought the complete series of the Cartoon Network Justice League, of the Bruce Timm Justice League, their animated series, TG, and one of the goddamn discs was messed up. Pisses me off. Nevertheless, that is excellent. And I finally got all the seasons of Batman Brave and the Bold on DVD now, which I'm very happy with. That was a wonderful thing, one of the few things that I've loved in a long time. That's for damn sure. Yeah, I hear you there, Wayne. I love Batman the Animated Series and Justice League. And some of their movies they've done. I never liked their Superman TV series because he was never really on there. It was never my Superman. But I've liked a lot of stuff they've done. Flashback. Oh my goodness, there he is, Flash. Oh, My goodness, there's a blast from the blast named Flash Blast. No, Flashback. Good to see you there, buddy. It has been a while. We had Flashback and he flashed out. But I just hope, Wayne, that they continue, they find some way, I know they're not supposed to, but they find some way to continue doing those DC animated movies. I know they're talking about not doing them anymore, but man, that's not good. Flash, it's back. Not good at all. That pisses me off that they would do it that way. Are they going to call it The Dark Knight Rises, or are you just kidding, Wayne? Maybe you're kidding. They might. Are they going to call it Dark Knight Triumphant, or, okay. Right, part two of it, yeah. Yeah, I figured that. But I'm not, hey, they could do that, though. You never know, so I hear you. Yes, The Dark Knight Returns. For those who do not know, of course, the legendary Frank Miller miniseries of the 80s, The Dark Knight Returns, a four-issue, that kind of really helped them put Batman in the forefront and helped get the first Batman movie made. Flashback and I have talked about this, Wayne. I got to tell you, the original Frank Miller Dark Knight series, miniseries, I always liked, but I had a lot of serious reservations with. I had a lot of serious criticisms of it, art-wise mostly, but other things too. However, I didn't hate it or anything like I did his horrible sequel he did. But I don't dislike the comic that much. And you know what? I bought the movie, but I haven't watched it yet because it's the first part. Peter Weller's Batman is pretty interesting, though. You know, we will see how that turns out. The sequel to Dark Knight, that piece of filthy trash garbage that came out in that Miller did the sequel to it, DK2 or whatever the hell they were calling it, is what I do when I finally get around to doing and getting it all together, my show on how not to write comics and or also the worst comic books ever made. That's going to top the list. If it's not number one, it's close. That is one of the, you know, because the original Dark Knight from 1986 had its faults, many agree, but it is, you know, it's not, it was a worthwhile effort. It was earned. It was, you know, good things about it. His sequel in the late 90s is quite possibly one of the most horrifically bad pieces of absolute maggot-infested shit to ever stain a comic book rack. And Miller's disdain for DC was shown there. He told them, I'm going to do all kind of sick shit, and DC threw money at him anyway and said, do it. Now, it's horrifically disgusting and bad. Banjo. I can't even call it writing or story. That would just be doing an injustice to writers the world over. But the art is the amusing thing to me about that. We talked, I think, Flash, didn't we talk about this one time? It looked like Frank Miller put an easel, you know, up, stood up, you know, an art page on an easel or, you know, a clean piece of paper, and then got some ink and some colors and stood about 10 feet away. It's the most reprehensible piece of maggot, filthy, goddamn trash ever made. Wayne, it's a disgusting disgrace. But as bad as how horrible his excuse for a story is, it's the art. And again, please forgive me if any of you are artists and you ever see that and you heard me use the word art when referring to it because it's not very nice of me. He took ink, put him on darts, and threw it from like 10 feet across the room to hit the page. I used to think he drew it with his feet, but I'm not so sure that one. He may have actually stuck a pin in his nostril and tried to draw it that way. I'm not really sure. It made Rob Liefeld garbage look good, if you could even conceive of such a horrific thing. And his story was sickening, disgusting, beyond the pale, unimaginative. It's even worse than Asbar, All-Star Batman Robin, which was one of the sickest puke pieces of shit ever. It almost topped DK2, but not quite. Acid Rock Radio gets a star for that one. He's a dartist. Man, you are something, Acid. I really love that one. Very good. It's truly the lowest point. As bad as comic books now are, as bad as the relaunch is now, it's got to be one of the most absolutely filthy, disgusting uses of the medium, of the art form of comic books, one could even conceive of. It's that bad. In fact, it might be so bad that it's fascinating. Some things are so bad that they become fascinating. You're almost like, wow. It's almost like he worked to make this that bad. I don't know. Was that what he was going? And actually, to be honest with you, that was actually kind of, if you listen to some of the things he said about it, kind of what Miller was going for. He had no respect for DC. He hated DC. He'd become really bitter. Let's see, drawing poses. That's very true, Wayne. Very true. Look, McFarlane's a sleazebag, too. But Miller was doing that because he was trying to write something to disgust. I mean, he may have been actually writing to something disgusting and just daring DC to print it. And they said, we'll print it because it's got your name on it, Chief. It's horrible, TG. If you can read it without puking, you're pretty strong. But that's very true, Wayne. In fact, Harlan Ellison, remember when Sci-Fi Network, when the Sci-Fi Channel was actually good, and Harlan Ellison had this show called Sci-Fi. They had a show called Sci-Fi Pulse, and Harlan Ellison had a segment on there, Wayne, where he was talking. He talked comics and science fiction, things like that, of course. And he was talking about a lot of people were at Todd McFarlane Image Studio, wherever, back in the early days of Spawn, which was another piece of shit, absolute one of the lowest things ever in comics. How anyone likes Spawn, it'll always boggle my mind. But Ellison said something it was pretty funny. Ellison was talking about, he said that, and this goes similar to what you just talked about, Wayne, with the Spider-Man, McFarlane. He said somebody knocked a bunch of pages over that McFarlane had drawn of Spawn comic, a current Spawn comic, apparently. And they fell on the floor, and he picked them up, and someone said, oh, I'm sorry about that or whatever. And McFarlane said, oh, no, look, you could jumble them any way you want, and they still make sense. Look, you could shuffle them any way you want. And as Ellison told the story, said, they still make sense, as if they ever made sense to begin. And he was saying he liked the visuals. He just thought this is just he was telling this reprehensible. You know how Harlan Ellison is. You should know how Harlan Ellison is. He was like, this is just pathetic. I mean, you could just arrange them any way you want. He was talking, making a very good commentary on terrible storytellers. Some guys can draw a pretty picture. They're not good storytellers. The modern-day comic book artist is not a very good storyteller. There's some artists that we could think of, like from the 60s and 70s, that their art might not be super pretty, but they were good at telling a story. Wayne, I'm not sure if Ellison or Straczynski is God, which one of the two is God this week, but I was led to understand that they're alternating now. They neither one of them believe in God, therefore they don't think they don't think they exist. And yet they've decided, just in case there is a God, that it's both of them combined. Or they take turns. Yes. Something along those lines. Even Don Heck could tell a story. Sal Buscema, picked on and, trashed all the time. Decker, I like Sal Buscema, though. But, I mean, it was a pretty simple style of art, no question about it. But Sal Buscema could tell a story. Don Heck was a good storyteller, especially in his early days. Indeed, Gobra, indeed. You know, I think Sal was a better storyteller. I think overall John's art was kind of a little bit more appealing, but Sal could tell a story better. It just depends. John was really good early on, but I see what you're saying, Wayne. I'm kind of that way too, believe it or not. I think Sal, I love Sal on Hulk. I mean, for the longest time, I thought, and of course, I know I get picked on for liking Rom, but I'm sorry, I liked it. And he did a good job on Rom. But, you know, oh man, me too, man. You know, by the way, there was a Rom toy. You know, the toy Rom was always the holy grail for me. I always wanted it. When I bought the first issue of Rom when it first came out, Wayne, I loved it. And they had that toy ad on the back for Rom. I didn't know it was a toy. I just thought it was a damn comic. And I said, man, I got to have that toy. He's a huge. And I never could get him, of course. And then he was on someone had him on eBay for like $15. It was one, it was out of the box, but it was in pretty good shape. And I bid on him, and of course I've been outbid. I didn't want to go any higher than like about $25, and I got outbid, so who knows, but I almost got him. Yes, I remember they did Space Knights. But Hasbro, by the way, is might be bringing Rom back. I just wish they could do some Rom, Rom trade paperbacks or something. Hopefully not essentials, but they probably end up being essentials. But anyway, I always wanted that toy, and every time I've seen it at a con in a box, it's just ridiculously expensive. So hopefully, find it cheap sometime, but no, I don't want to spend too much on it, because again, it's pretty valuable. But that's, I love Rom. What's wrong with us? Abby would be beating up on us right now for saying we love Rom. Hey, be proud if you love Rom, damn it. I'm a Rom lover and I'm proud. But, so yeah, Decker was never big on Sal. I like some of Sal's Hulk stuff and his Rom stuff, but yeah, I mean, he was that. I mean, and even some of his Captain America stuff, really. John Buscema, I would have to say my favorite stuff of his, of course, is being his Avengers by far. Although, some of his Conan, of course, and his Thor. Those are things he excelled on. And he didn't even like superheroes except for Thor. He loved Conan, though. But again, those comic artists. Romy Schneider. How many of us remember her? Anyway, we all love her, though. His Avengers, though, was my favorite. But, again, what could you do, man? Comic book artists were storytellers back then. Now they're not. They're not. They're just, they draw, brightly colored, they put out brightly colored pamphlets that cost $3.99. Pretty pictures, filled up a page with, a lot of flashy colors and stuff, but they don't really tell any kind of a story. Not anymore. Not like the old days. And that's the way we liked it back then, damn it. The way we liked it. Yeah. The Axis action figures on acid. Okay, Axis, here we come. You're making me think of Invaders. Oh, damn it. Damn you, Acid. You just made me think of Invaders, which makes me think of the crappiest artist ever, Frank Robbins. Cobra, that's a good point. Some things hold up and some things don't. But, yes, it's happened. I think it's happened to everybody at some point. Like you said, a comic or a show or a movie, and you watch it later. And thankfully, more often than not, that doesn't happen to me, but it does happen. You love Frank Robbins on Invaders, Decker, do you? You are kidding me, right? Man. That was painful. Even as a kid, even as a 10, 12-year-old, whatever it was, kid that I was, okay? Picking up Invaders, and I'm going, I mean, look, you can't lose. You get this cover, a Kirby cover most of the time, but every now and then it was a Gil Kane or a Rich Buckler, so the cover was good, and you had Captain America, Submariner, Human Torch, original Human Torch. But you open it up. Again, you think, wow, I mean, look at all these guys now. They're in World War II. I mean, I'm in there. You know, of course, we all know they were originally called All Winners. Invaders was kind of a retro title created by Roy Thomas. But, you know, you're going, wow, I can't lose, man. I got Cap and Subby and Human Torch and then other characters. And you open it up, and it's drawn by fucking Frank Robbins. It was old at the time, I understand that now, but I'm a kid, I don't know that back then. And it looks like crap that would hang on a mom's refrigerator door. It's that bad. A fucking 2-year-old could draw better than this. And Marvel's selling this shit, and it's almost every goddamn issue. Was by Frank Robbins. And I do appreciate the fact that he was really old. If we don't understand some of those bad artists of the 70s that we used to read, like, my God, he sucks. Look, man, Tuska was horrible. Frank Robbins, Don Heck at that point when he was getting bad, Infantino. These guys were old when they were doing that, but when you're a kid, you don't know that. But they were fucking old. Irv Novik. I hate Tuska. Now, Irv Novik, I liked him on Flash. You know, some of those guys are still like, I liked him on Flash, but Novik wasn't too good on Batman. He kind of fit for Flash because everybody he drew was anorexic. Just like everybody fucking Frank Robbins drew was anorexic and they were bow-legged. That's very true. That's very true, Cobra. You're absolutely right about that, my friend. But also, as you get older, Cobra, I find that you look back at some of that stuff that may not have held up that well, but when you look at it, it makes you think of those times, and you don't mind it so much. I mean, at least I do. And look, Ditko was a master, but some of the stuff he did in the 80s wasn't as good as his older stuff. But he was still, he was one of the geniuses of comic book art. But a lot of these guys, you know, when you're, Carmen Infantino, you know, at the time I hadn't seen many of his reprints. I love his 60s Batman work. And especially his work on Flash in the 60s. But, man, was he bad in the 70s. Holy shit. Don Heck, I'm not sure who the worst artist of the 70s was for me. It was probably Frank Robbins. Then George Tuska, Carmen Infantino, Don Heck, all of them got up there. How many freaking times did you see a beautiful Justice League cover by George Perez, only to open it up to a Don Heck interior. That traumatizes a young man as a child, as a comic book reader. Yeah. Oh, man, here we are at hour number two, my good friends. I'm going to take a slight little break, and I'm going to be back right after these unimportant noises. Where am I? Oh, sorry. Be right back.
Forever, they're the best of friends. But when trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
Now is their leader, and he loves to party down. Rorschach's friends to the animals.
Yeah, when he's not clowning around.
Why not?
Beat up some thugs, say no to drugs. Be in bed by 10. But if trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchman.
Specs is a sensation you should really never miss. The comedian's your biggest fan now.
If I could only get that kiss.
OZM, your bestest. Couple of crime solving superstars. John can give you cancer, and I'll turn into a car.
Strong together, united forever. Come and meet your friends. Have no fear, time's up, time's here for the Watchmen.
Welcome back. Sorry for the long extended delay. I just like playing with the music. What can I tell you? You know what that Flash Gordon theme by Queen reminds me of? My good friends and buddies. By the way, welcome to hour number two of Clobbering Time, Thursday Night Open Geek Foolishness. Here with Ben J. Grimm, the ever-loving brown eye thing, as your host, whatever you want to call me. No, Wayne, this is the 1960s version. No, Herbie the Robot, you know good and well, pal. Don't make me come up there, Wayne. You know what it makes me think of? That Flash Gordon theme, though, that's like... It takes me back to playing hooky from school. You might ask, what? Huh? As you know, that film came out in 1980. I was just now starting to drive. I got to see Empire Strikes Back 15 billion times in the theater, and I went to see that. I fell in love with this movie, too. It was Flash Gordon. I went to see it over and over again. Well, we were going to the school that we really friggin' hated. By the way, welcome John Hilliard for jumping into the chat there. Appreciate it, buddy. Welcome, sir. And we're just doing open geek talk. Whatever geekness pops in, we talk about it, my brother. No, but welcome to the show. Welcome, John, everyone. Now, John, but anyway, so this is, I guess I'm, I don't know what, I was 16 years old or whatever. And we were going, you know, because we, our school was a long way away from where we lived, I had to drive us to school. Well, don't let a kid who hates school drive to school back in the 80s anyway. And so we used to just freaking say, screw it, and just leave the school ground, get in my truck, and drive to the movie theater a lot of times. And must have saw, went to see Flash Gordon about 4, 5, 10 zillion times maybe, who knows. playing hooky from school. And yes, we got caught eventually. So Flash Gordon, the Mike Hodges, Sam J. Jones film with the Queen soundtrack always reminds me of playing hooky from school. Yeah. Yabo. That's right. So, and also reminds me of Sam J. Jones wasn't a very good actor, but had an amazing cast to that film. Now, of course, the greatest Flash Gordon, Flash Gordon adapted from the comic strip, the classic Alex Raymond comic strip, the best it's ever been. You might think I'm going to say the Buster Crab serial from the 30s, which I do love. Buster Crab was great. Those are excellent, by the way. But for me, my favorite adaptation of Flash Gordon is a rarely seen, and I mean rarely, unless you're me who's seen it a million times because I recorded it back in 1982, but late 70s, early 80s, you all remember the Flash Gordon Saturday morning TV cartoon, I'm sure. But before that, NBC allowed a pilot to be made, and it was late by Filmation, so they later used a lot of the same animation that was in the movie. But it was called Flash Gordon, The Greatest Adventure of All. It was made as a TV movie, written by Samuel A. Peoples, who wrote Where No Man Has Gone Before, the second Star Trek pilot. And it was and is magnificent. They only aired it on TV a couple of times in a movie form. Then, of course, they chopped it up and serialized it for the Saturday morning cartoon, which I liked and everything, but it wasn't as good. But it was excellent. You know, it was that for me is the closest you're ever going to see to the brilliant Alex Raymond comic book strips from the 30s, and of course where Flash Gordon got his start. Oh, you saw it, Wayne? Excellent. But and few have seen it though. I had this old videotape of it that was wearing out. It wasn't a great copy, but it was the best I could do. And we transferred it to DVD, and it was still kind of so-so. Then we found the bootleg at a convention a couple years back, and it's a lot better copy, at least. Well, of course, I do love the old Flash Gordon serials, with Buster Crab. Oh, there you go. Cool, Wayne. And again, when they released the Saturday morning Flash Gordon cartoon itself on DVD and a set, it pissed me off because they didn't include the movie. And that cartoon, the way they kind of watered it down for Saturday morning, it doesn't hold up as well. You know, Cobra, you're talking about things not holding up. Flash Gordon, The Greatest Adventure of All, the TV movie, holds up. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. I love it. And that's something that holds up. The cartoon that they watered down for Saturday morning, not so much. But I found the bootleg of it at Dragon Con a couple of years back, Cobra, and it's a lot better copy than I had. It's great stuff. Love it. But I love the Buster Crab stuff, too, as well, of course. And I really loved it when Buster Crab played Colonel Gordon on Buck Rogers. I'm sure you all remember that episode, Planet of the Slave Girls, Part 1 and 2, the second episode of Buck Rogers. Why do I remember crap like that? What can I tell you? I don't even know. But, man, that was great. One of the greatest. That was such a fun scene. I'm sure you all remember when Buck Rogers says, "Hey, Gordon, where'd you learn how to fly like that?" or whatever. "Young man, I've been doing that sort of thing since before you were born." And was it Buck Rogers said, "Think so, huh?" And, "Young man, I know so." And he did, because he was the original Buck Rogers. He was Buster Crab. He played Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon. Whoever did that. Yeah. I to this day, every now and then, I'll pull out a Buck Rogers episode and watch it, you know, just, or if I'm feeling really lazy, I'll just do it on the PlayStation, the Netflix streaming. Yep. You know something, biddy, 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 I know what you did there. I know what you did there, Wayne, biddy, biddy, biddy. Yeah. You know what, Cobra? I agree with that to a point, except I kind of loved the first episode, Time of the Hawk, of the second season. I hated what the format and everything they did to it, but I really did like Hawk in that one. He was a good character that was wasted after that. But I love Time of the Hawk, and then after that, it turned into crap. For me, anyway. Hawk's ship was pretty damn cool, too. Welcome to the Funhouse, John. But let me see. Where are you, Flash? There you are. No, you're not. That's not you. No. Flash, where you at, my brother? This ain't no game, Flash. Real guns. Real bullets. John is, by the way, John's a good buddy who joined up over at I go over that retro blasting, by the way, and I always forget about it. I hate when I'm remiss in my duties to plug my good friends, retro blasting. They have a great Facebook page and YouTube page. It's my good buddies, Mike and Melinda, who, again, a couple of weeks back, we had a fantastic time on the show. I haven't been on here, and I hope to get them back on again. But, yeah, John's a good retro-blasting buddy of ours. And he's, of course, again, they have a great YouTube page. They do some amazing videos and stuff. Oh, my God. Look at it. I had checked over to Facebook for a second. Russ, you'll appreciate this. Oh my God. The Captain Adam, excuse me, Captain Action, Facebook page posted a picture. As you know, Captain Action, you can get certain superhero costumes for him. Well, someone did a custom. I love what these people do with custom figures. This is fantastic. And, you know, because it's the Captain Action doll, I guess. I guess they're using Captain Action. I'm not sure. What they're using, of course, that's Amigo look to it, Russ. But dude, it's the Earth 2 Robin in the first costume. They did a beautiful job on this damn thing. Holy crap. That kicks ass. Let me put a link in there to it. Man, I love what these customizers do with these things. They're amazing. Captain on the bridge, the great Charlie Archer. Good to see you there, pal. Look at that picture there, Russ. Wow, man. Holy shit, that is beautiful. We did a great job on that sucker. That's the first Earth 2 Robin costume. Even though I like the second Earth 2 Robin costume better, that's pretty amazing. Isn't that nice? I love what the customizers do. I know I went off on a big rant about Magic Collector the other night, but I finally got my, you know, when I, although I was still glad to get my, Invisible Kid, DC Direct one. Now, I got my Star Man, even though it's supposed to be Star Boy from Maddie Collector Signature Series. And boy, I'm glad I ordered it instead of buying it a cock cup. Oh, yeah. And I've got a buddy of mine who does customs, Russ, and he's made so many different, because he's a big Golden Age comic book fanatic. And let me take a look. Yeah, I kind of see what you're saying about the cape. The cape might be a little long. I don't know. But still, the guy probably did what he... I'm not sure where he got that damn cape. It almost looks like some of the other pictures. In fact, the picture I see, there's other pictures of a different cape. There's two different capes. But still, to do a character like that, he did a job on that, considering it couldn't have been easy. great pal Steve Dove has just popped into the chat. Hey, Steve, what's up, my friend? Good to see you there, buddy. Am I breaking up? I don't know. Maybe I have a bad Skype. Let me see. I'm see if I can get another Skype line. Let's see. I'm going to try to get another Skype line. Let's see. I'll be right back.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
All right. How about that? Any better? Am I still busted up and dropping out and whatever else I was doing? Let's see. Sound check, everyone. Since I don't have, I know Tex is out there. And I know, I see. By the way, I see you there, Tex. But I'm. Does it sound much better now? Okay. And sometimes there could be a Skype line. BTR sucks. Appreciate that, Charlie. Sorry, my good friends and buddies. At least it didn't happen during my Maddie Collector rant from the other night. Bastards. Bloody bastards all. Oh, man. Good to see you there, Steve. Absolutely, man. Our good friend, John. I always forget to put the Retro Blasting page link in there. But what the? I don't know. I'm still digging that Earth 2 Robin costume, the Captain Action thing. I'm saying, man, I wish I could do that kind of stuff. But my friend Larry, he's a good customizer. Thanks. Text by text. Text will appreciate the tribute. Sound text by text now. Okay. No, Charlie, it's on. I put a link up in there. Let me put it on there again. There it is again. It's the Captain Action Facebook webpage. Some guy did a custom of a. I guess he took a Captain Action. I'm not sure how he did it. He did a custom of the Earth 2 Robin, the very first costume, not the second one. I love the second one most, but still, it's pretty damn cool. Take a look at that. Although John was saying that the cape was a little wonky, a couple of the other pictures have a different cape, but. Still, that's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, it is pretty nice. I like it's amazing what the, like you were saying earlier, you were kind of talking about that, Russ. It's amazing what these customizers can do. And there was a time when there were so many figures they weren't doing. And now they've done so many of them. My friend Larry and I, the one who does the customizer, he and I used to talk, just the early part of this century, we would say, man, I wish they would do, and we would name all these characters, usually pretty obscure ones, granted. Wish they would do so-and-so, do a figure of this one, do a figure of that one. And we would always pretty much end that conversation like, yeah, they're probably not going to do him. They're probably not going to do that one. And now pretty much, you know, after DC Direct had its heyday, now it's Maddie Collector, or Mattel. They've done a lot, so many of them, that it's pretty amazing, some of the ones they have done. And he's a Golden Age fanatic. Of course, he's my Golden Age resource. If I need to know about it, the Golden Age, he's the one I talk to. And he's made a good number of figures that they still have not done, obscure characters that he's made customs of. And then they do silly things, like they'll do the Doom Patrol. And they do Negative Man, but they just do him in his normal outfit. So he had to make the shadow version of Negative Man when he leaves his body. He had to make that one. Yep. I hear you, Steve. My favorite is the second Nerf 2 Robin costume. In fact, that's why I guess because I love that costume so much. That's why when and you and I think talked back and forth a little bit about this one time, Steve. But about the about Robin becoming Nightwing and all that stuff. Let's see, this is off topic upon. The episode from Batman where Robin dies? You mean the comic? You say episode, are you talking about Death in the Family? Okay. If you're talking about Death in the Family, and the Jason Todd Robin dies, if you're talking about that one, if you are, of course, as they did actually chronicle that in a DC animated film, Batman Under the Red Hood also. But if you're talking about the comic back from the late 80s, pretty much anyone here has probably read that at some point. And I even voted. You know, they had the 1-800 or 1-900 number or whatever it was where you could vote whether you want him to die or not. And, of course, I voted for him to die a few times. I had my comic shop at the time, and I ordered tons of that issue. Me too, Steve. I had my comic shop. And I was telling everybody, vote for him to die or face my wrath. No, I'm just kidding. Vote for him and then come back and tell me. And all of us voted for the little sumbitch. Now, by the way, yeah, that was Jason Todd. I love Dick Grayson. But Jason Todd was a little fuck. And he was a little shit. I couldn't stand him, so I was glad he killed his ass. But we actually talked about that earlier at the beginning of the show. That we were mentioning that Death in the Family. but that's funny. Yeah, it was a weird thing. Oh, here we go. Ah, he showed up. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special segment on the show right now. We're going to welcome a guest, a good friend, very good friend of the show, the great Flashback. Flash.
What's up, man? By the way, I voted to kill the little bastard, too.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
We got some. Yes, the sensible choice. We all voted to kill that little son of a bitch. And by the way, I wanted to be clear. I would not have voted to kill him if it were Dick Grayson. But
never.
Hey.
Never. No. Never in a million years. No.
But, yeah. As Steve says, I'm not big on Timmy Drake, but I'll take him over what's-his-face any day. What's-his-name? Todd, that's for sure. Yep. But,
is Tim Drake even a Robin anymore?
I guess he is, yeah. You know, I don't read current crap anymore. But
I don't know.
I
thought I read something that in the new 52 that he was never a Robin. Maybe I misunderstood that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'd have to ask our buddy Steve. He'd know that for sure. Now, our good friend Flash here has I'm going to disappoint him a little bit, but he this is what we call our Clobbering Time Woodshed segment. What is that, you may ask? Well, I have never met
a better...
That's where
I get my mail.
Yes. Well, see, I've never met... and again, I compliment you, sir. I've never met a better sport when people are fucking with them than you. You're just too cool. But because you and I, as you know, certain things we agree on, certain things we don't. And
right.
You. By the way, you do ruin the fun, by the way, because I'm trying to bust your chops on something that you said you either liked or disliked, whatever we're disagreeing on. And
yeah.
You're so cool and amiable about it, it takes the fun out. I just want you to know that, okay?
Not sorry.
Yeah, you ought to be sorry, damn it.
I'll put my little girl panties on the next time and I'll have a hissy fit if that'll make you feel better.
but, yeah, because I think I told you I was going to – let's see here. Oh, now I remember what it was. No, I may have to beat you up on this one. There's a new TV series. Now that's all. Hey, John, that's no big deal. Don't worry about it, man. This is Open Geek Talk. There's no such thing as a topic on Open Geekness, John. So you didn't do. You know, we appreciate that. Anything to get me off on anything that's fun to talk about. You're cool. It's Robin chat. Hey, do what you got to do. But there's a new TV series on the air on the CW, which for me stands for Can't Watch, mostly. except for Supernatural, and they're starting to piss me off on there right now. As you all may or may not know, our good buddy Flash here is a big fan of a show that I despise called Smallville. And we've busted each other's chops on that for years and stuff. And well, there's a new show on the CW called, let me say it right now, Arrow. Not Arrow. Let's say it now. Again, for those who don't know, it's not pronounced Arrow. It's pronounced Arrow. Okay. Just making sure. And it's not Green Arrow. It's nothing to do with traffic lights. I just want to make that perfectly clear. Now, I really don't have I'd probably disappoint you, but I really don't have anything against the show that much. Although Gummy did mention you like Legend of the Lone Ranger. And by the way, that's going to be taken away from me now. You realize that, right? You know how we always bust your chops about liking Legend of the Lone Ranger?
Right.
Well, they got this shitty remake coming out with Johnny Depp with a goddamn chicken on his head. I mean, nothing could be – Clinton Spilsbury ought to love it.
He should. He should.
There's nothing
could
be worse than that.
Yeah, he should be asking for an apology right about now. But what was funny about that, kind of related to that, is Michael Horse, who played Tonto in The Legend of Lone Ranger, after the CW did that horrific Lone Ranger pilot with Chad, whatever the hell his name is. And it was so horrible that Michael Horse was in an interview, and he goes, "You have no idea how relieved I am that we are now no longer the worst version of the Lone Ranger."
I love it. Yeah, that's horrible. Well, they're about to be topped by that stupid-ass new crap with Johnny Dipshit. But anyway.
I'm afraid so, yeah.
They're about to be topped, so we won't even be able to pick on you that anymore. Unless you go see that and like it, then your ass is mine, boy. Yeah. but seriously, on Arrow, I don't have anything against it. I'm just not, I don't really care much for the tech. It's not a bad show. I just don't care for it.
Right.
But it wasn't that. It was you, sir, my very good friend,
who
trashed the comic book Green Arrow, and that we can't have because I love Ollie Queen.
Wait a minute. I think trashed is a little harsh. I think that's I wouldn't go so far as to say trashed. It seems to me, like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, that I always found Green Arrow to be kind of a boring character. I think he's a gimmick character. He's a gimmick hero. I never really was a fan. He's kind of like, I don't know. I just don't dig it.
I hear you.
He's not my thing, you know. If you want to call that trashing, I'll go that far. But,
that's fine. Look, this is proper time, buddy. We love trashing around here. We disagree with it.
I just think here's where I got in trouble with you. I remember now. Here's where I got in trouble. Here's what led me to tonight's woodshed. Is I had remarked that I am a big comic book geek. I love comics. I love fantasy. But some things to me strain credibility to where I'm kind of like, really, really, you guys went there. And the two things that always bug me, and I always catch hell for this, because they're like, well, wait a minute, you believe a man can fly and he's invulnerable, or a kid gets bitten by a radioactive spider and gains the powers, but you don't believe in, A, the Flash's costume being compacted into a ring, or Green Arrow's sillier arrows. And that's where I got in trouble with you, where I said silly. And, I just always found the weird arrows.
No, they are silly. No, I admit they're silly, but I just...
out of it, you know?
Right. I admit they're silly, but I enjoy the silliness, though.
Yeah.
They are silly.
That's where you and I part company. I'm not so much a fan of them, which is why I don't like Brave and the Bold, which also got me into the woodshed a couple of times.
Oh, but that's a woodshed classic.
I had remembered saying that a little realism for a character like Green Arrow wouldn't hurt.
Well, you do know that there were comics where
wrong.
You do know, and there was a time in the comics, just to defend the comics a little bit, where he used real arrows and was killing people left and right. I mean, in Longbow Hunters really started him, you know, pretty grim path, if you remember.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't know that. I don't read Green Arrow, but I'd heard that.
Okay.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Right.
But here's where I was wrong, and I'll eat crow on this one. The show Arrow, I'm sticking with it, but it's not grabbing me. I think it needs a lot of work. I mean, that cast has got to be whittled down, and there's just too many people running around. And to me, the more interesting part is what's going on with the island, which we're only getting like bits and pieces of here and there. And it can actually deal with a little more fantasy. So I'm going to take that back. Yeah, I'm going to take that back because right now you got a pretty dull show going on.
That's what I've seen from it. I couldn't really get that into it. But, you know, me, I don't like minimalist take on anything. I believe if you're going to have a superhero, I believe you're doing injustice to the subject matter when you, like for the stupid Bryan Singer X-Men movies where you can't have costumes or, you know, when you're embarrassed of the subject matter, just don't do it. That's all that's kind of me on that. But as you know, a lot of people don't have those hang-ups, so they'll watch the shows that, yes, they're dealing with superhero subjects, but they're not going all out. That's why I love something like Avengers, for whatever flaws people think it has. That was superheroes on parade, and you know, the film. So I prefer to see my superheroes done that way, only because of what they so rarely are. But I'm not knocking you on that, really, and I'm not really on Ollie Queen of the comics. I've always loved him, but it's funny. He did go kind of down a darker path with Longbow Hunters, probably to his detriment in a way, although it was at the time it was pretty interesting, and I love Mike Grell's stuff. But one of the interesting things about him for me, I guess, and he made my top 25 list when we did our top 25 all-time favorite comic book superheroes a couple years back. He made my list, Ollie Queen, and I'll tell you why. My good buddy Steve Dom in the chat room did mention, he said he called him a lefty whiner, and he is. And you all know I'm a big evil right winger. And we have, by the way, I have good friends right here with us now who are in the chat room, some left, some right. We span the political spectrum here, but we don't talk politics here. This is a politics-free zone. However, you have to mention it a little bit in context of Ollie Queen because the hard-traveling heroes comics of the Neil Adams, Denny O'Neill era of the 60s, that classic stint called Green Lantern, Green Arrow, it was the socially conscious comic. You had Hal Jordan, who was a little bit more conservative. You had Ollie Queen, who was the big 60s liberal, and that was a classic combination. And he's even said it himself. Hey, look, I'm an old lefty. I remember he even said it on the Justice League cartoon, which was a throwback to another comic. And I love that character. I absolutely love him. The same way I love a friend of mine, even though he totally disagrees with me on politics. There's something about that refreshing about the character of Ollie Queen. So I guess I'm loving Ollie, the character, and I'm kind of separating it from the trick arrows, which I don't mind because I don't mind that kind of stuff. But or even when he uses real arrows to shoot through someone's head, he did kill someone once. But I love the fact that he started out as a Batman knockoff, which is true. He had an arrow car, for Christ's sake. And then he went down a different path, and he became a character that did challenge the status quo. He became a character that was very, he was polarizing in a lot of ways. He wasn't like your traditional superhero, and yet he was still he was a good man, but he was very flawed. And I love Ollie Queen for that. I mean, he's just always been a really cool character, and you can always count on the guy, to be there for the Justice League and to be there for Hal Jordan, his friend, and the other the characters in Speedy. And yet he's always going to screw up a little bit, too. So I do love the character, but I see what you're saying. The trick arrows really are something from an earlier era, though. And I don't mind them, by the way. But, yeah, they can be a little silly. The punching glove, the boxing glove arrow.
Right.
I know you love that one, right?
There's just a line that I won't cross. I don't know why. It's a mental sickness, I guess. Like, I just sometimes just have to take the fun out of everything. Sometimes I just have to piss on something to where it's like, there's no way that costume's going to fit in that ring. Don't give me your bullshit comic physics. It's not going to happen. There's no way. I've always got to be that guy that'll piss on that. And Green Arrow was one of those characters that I pissed on because the arrows were just, you know, a little ridiculous. But now I'm going to backtrack on that. And I can say that this show could use a little less realism now and a little more fantasy going on, because right now it's not awful, but it's really having a hard time finding out what it wants to be. I'm going to side with you on this one, that calling him the Hood or calling him Arrow is a little dumb. I guess what we're supposed to believe here is it's a natural progression, and eventually somebody will be the first person to call him Green Arrow. Problem is, getting there just isn't that interesting. It's just not that interesting. If this is the step-by-step process we're going to go through, let's fast forward it a little bit. Or if you're not going to fast forward it, let's hit the rewind button and spend a little more time on this island, which so far is the best part of the show that you're only giving us little glimpses of, which is what's pissing me off about Supernatural right now, which I like the direction Supernatural's taken this season. But the stuff with Castiel is being given to us in such tiny doses, it's frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, let's get back to that. This is what I want to see, not, you know, your umpteenth millionth, you know, plan to get rid of the demons, which you're never going to do. But both shows are suffering from that. They're just giving us just enough of the good stuff and making us sit through a lot of shit. And
yeah.
I wish Arrow would reverse that and spend a little more time with this island thing.
You never know. It might. If it lasts, you never know. Maybe it'll pick it up. And
It's doing well, so it will last. And like I said before, the CW, you got to be really bad before the CW is going to cancel you. Your numbers have to be just so anemic that you're on life support. So it's around for a while for sure. But I'll tell you just how ignorant I was about the Green Arrow character. This is how ignorant I was. Ollie Queen was also in Smallville, and
right.
When they were talking about him being stranded on an island. This is how ignorant I am of that. I thought this was, I'm like, is this some Smallville invention, or was he really stranded on an island? And, yeah, I found out that was from the comics. But, yeah, that's how in the dark I was about this character. He was just not a fan. And I thought I'd give this show a chance because it's the obvious heir apparent to Smallville. It's, you know, the CW wants another superhero show, and this was probably the easiest way to go because they probably had some rights already in place or something. But so far, yeah. It's not grabbing me.
Hmm. Well, you never know. And they might pick it up. And by the way, totally agree with about the Castiel thing. I just want the old Castiel back. But then I don't think we're ever going to get him back. And quite frankly,
right,
go ahead.
Yeah, they keep changing Castiel. He goes from crazy Castiel to hippie Castiel to, you know, nursing school Castiel. I mean, I don't know what's next here. It's just they can't seem to make up their mind what to do with him. And that's also a character that's a victim of his own success. The character's so popular, they don't want to get rid of him, but they also don't know what to do with him. So
I'm pissed at him. You know. I'm pissed at him for Bobby, to be honest with you. Why do we have to? Did the guy leave? The guy couldn't have had other things to do. It can't be the actor wanting to leave.
Apparently,
can it? I mean,
he did not. Yeah. Apparently he did not leave. Apparently he was written out.
I don't understand that kind of crap. It's getting annoying.
I don't either. I don't get it. I don't know whether they felt it. I don't know whether it was that Smallville syndrome to where basically the adult cast was whittled away eventually and you were just left with the younger cast. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if they thought he was too old or what. But, yeah, apparently he was dragged kicking and screaming off the show. I mean, not literally,
but
he didn't quit. He was, just written out.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand that, man. It's okay, we get it. People get killed around the Sam and Dean, but, man, Do we really have to do it to Bobby, too? Were any fans clamoring to get rid of Bobby or Castiel? I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. With Bobby, Bobby was at his best when he was would pop in for occasional episodes, and then I don't know if he just they began to have him hanging on too long or what. I don't know. But Castiel is that thing where if you kill him off permanently, you're going to have a riot on your hands. But there's also nothing for him to do, so you keep having to make up these weird stories for him. And I like the character. I think it's a good character, but he's a good character who should be used in small doses.
Right. And saying things like ass butt, which are classic. But you know what? My buddy CCL says it. He says, they kill off too many characters. To a point, okay, we know it. You guys are edgy. You kill characters. But now they've gone so far with it that every single person that comes on the show, they've made it so predictable. You know how other shows might think we're being predictable when these guys always survive, so we need to start killing people. Now you've turned it to the other way. You know, for everyone, including Sam and Dean, they've died a bazillion times, but they come back because they're the stars.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody shows up. Now that you're watching the show, because it's in its eighth season, as soon as somebody shows up that's slightly interesting, you go, that guy's dead. That woman's
exactly.
dead.
Yeah. It's like any time you see a show, I'll give you a perfect example, the Hawaii Five-O, the new version of Hawaii Five-O, which I've strayed away from. I used to like it, and now it's gotten to be so repetitive, and it's the same episode all the time. But Chin-Ho suddenly gets this fiancé who comes out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, I knew her from a long time ago, and they get married, and I looked at my wife and said, she's dead. She's
dead meat.
Because here comes this fiance out of nowhere. You know, and the expression is, oh, they knew each other a long time ago. They're married. Like two episodes later, she's dead. You see it coming you see it coming a mile away.
She's deader. So. She's deader than a Cartwright bride.
Exactly. The second you see her, you know she's a goner.
I know I don't have to explain it, but I'll do it just for the hell of it. If you married one of the Cartwrights, your ass was dead. On Bonanza, you all know we're talking about it. If you married Hoss, let's see, I don't know if Hoss got married, but Joe got married like twice. Of course, Ben, all of his kids were from different mothers. If you married a Cartwright, your ass was toast. And if you hang around with Dean, Sam and Dean Winchester, your ass is toast.
You're a goner, exactly.
It's aggravating. But, you know, I keep watching it out of habit, you know.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I haven't gotten to the habit part, but I kind of like where they're going here with Benny, and I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to play out. But
yeah,
I just thought last week was a real clunker, and I'm just like, God, I hope this.
I'm about 3 weeks behind.
I always
seem to get about 3 weeks behind, and I go, you know what? We record them. Let's just watch the suckers. Let's catch up. Let's, you know, because I got like four or five different other people that, hey, did you see, did you watch Supernatural? Like, no, I didn't watch the new one yet. God damn it. I want to tell you. And I said, I want to tell you this and tell you about it. I said, well, go ahead and talk to me about it. But you haven't seen it yet. Shit. Okay. I said, because I'm one of those few that doesn't really care about spoilers.
I do, depending on the show. Once The Walking Dead, there's a perfect example. I won't even type The Walking Dead into the search browser because chances are it's going to finish it for you and it's going to ruin something. So for some reason, that show, I'm really hung up on spoilers. I don't want to know anything. But, yeah, like you, Supernatural, somebody slips and says something to me, you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But for me, The Walking Dead, half of the fun, half of the fun is that anxiety it gives me. I'm just a nervous wreck watching it. I'm just so anxious and just filled with dread at some, sometimes. And I don't want to ruin,
No, I hear you. I'm one of the few that never could get into the show Walking Dead. I liked the comic book for the first about 50 or 60 issues. Then I read it read it out of just obligation for about 20 so issues after that. And then it finally just pissed me off too bad. I like with a lot. And I admit, by the way, the comic book, the show's the same way. What I've seen of it, and it's not spoiling. I'm just saying, since it's him handling it, he's doing different. He's trying to make the show a bit different from the comics, so it's not the same exact story, which I get, by the way, although it's very similar. But the comic book, the sort of the thing that went on with the Walking Dead comic book with me is my son and I, we'd buy it and get it at the comic shop. We'd come home. Whoever would get a chance would read it first. The other one would hold up and say, come into the other room and say, "Holy shit." That's all. Like, you got to read it. Oh, my God. And that's what Kirkman was. I mean, it's manipulative, but he would shock your ass almost every issue. He would go for the throat every issue, and it was in black and white, which added to the mystique a little bit. And it was a kind of a fun thing for a while, actually. Then he started doing shit that was so annoying. I'm like, this is starting to piss me off. I had another friend of mine. He called and said, "Man, you know," he'd be so mad, he would put something on his Facebook page, "Robert Kirkman, you disgust me." And a comic book writer, over a comic book he just read, he's putting that. He's pissed off at a guy for... So, which shows that Kirkman was pretty effective with what he was doing with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And this was way before there was a TV show now, right? So,
right.
A little bit before the TV show came on, it was the last straw. He did something that really aggravated me. I'm like, I'm done with this goddamn comic. I traded issues 25. I had the trade paperbacks. I gave a bunch of the trade paperbacks away. I traded issue 25 through 90 for a fantastic Randy Bolton, or Bolton, whatever you call it, Randy Bowen, excuse me, Thor statue with him swinging the hammer, and I did better. I mean, screw the comic. I don't need it. But I've taken a look. Now, the show, just like what you're saying, and like a lot of people who do watch it, are having the same type of reaction we used to have to the comic. They watch it. It tugs at their heartstrings. It runs them through the meat grinder every episode, which is, again, to their credit, they're doing a good job. And then people just, they're blown away, and they can't wait for the next one. They don't want to hear any info about it, and they can't stop talking about it. And I'm not talking about geeks now. I'm talking about, I've walked through so many people, normal, quote-unquote normals at work, who would say, "Walking Dead, are you watching that?" "Nah, I read the comic. I don't care about the..." But a lot of people are. And so I see what you're saying. It's pretty, I guess it's gripping, isn't it?
Yeah. Currently, that's my current must-watch. If I only had room in the DVR for one show a week, that's the one. That's going to be the one. Yeah, I just love it. I mean, I kind of feel like those people who read the comic and were just so blown away by it, because I didn't know shit about the comic. I knew nothing about it. And so everything that happened was as new to me as it was to the people who read it, like reading it for the first time. And I tried to read the comic, but it's been tainted for me by the television show. And I think if I'd have read the comic first, maybe that'd have been, maybe it would have been the other way around. The show would have been tainted. But that was my first exposure, along with the mainstream audience. And so, yeah, the comic's been kind of tainted for me. I just can't get into it. It's too different for me. Even though that's probably, even though that's the way it originally happened, it's just too different for me. And I just can't seem to get into it.
It's pretty close, actually, what I've seen. I watched the first, almost the whole first season, and I watched the bits and pieces here and there. And most of it's pretty much, there are differences. Like, there's a whole character from the comic that they didn't put in the show. And some, there are cosmetic differences, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And there's here and there, there's a few, but mostly it's very similar to it. The thing is, the TV show is still like a Disney. It's Disney compared to the comic. There's stuff in the comic that they're never. I'm telling you, there's stuff in the comic. In the comic that they won't do on the TV show. I'm fairly sure.
I hear things about the governor. I'm like, don't tell me too much. I don't want to know too much. But they're like, man, they'll never do this stuff with the governor. And I'm like, I want to know what they're talking about, but I don't want to know what they're talking about.
Well, after all that, look, ask me about it once that plays out, and I'll tell you, and you'll go, wow, can't, yeah, then you'll go, yeah, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, once all the governor stuff plays out, then you come back and ask me, and I'll tell you, and you'll probably go, yep, you're right, they weren't going to do that on TV.
So, right.
Sick stuff.
Even if it is AMC.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. That's back. You know, back when I used to think it would be a great to see a TV show of that. I used to say, man, but it needs to be on HBO. Not just so they could say fuck all the time, which they do in the comic, but
right.
You know,
right.
For other sick reasons. And if, by the way, if it were on HBO, then there would be no holds barred. But not that they don't get away with a lot of shit on AMC either. So.
I'm totally shocked by the stuff they get away with. Completely shocked. Yeah.
I hear you there. Oh, man. But now, have you got any shows planned, by the way?
Do I?
Yeah.
Not
working on
probably
anything?
Not. Yeah, probably not until after Thanksgiving. I kind of dusted the cobwebs off here recently with Robbie Benson just to get back into it because I've been out for a while. So
sure.
We're probably looking somewhere in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we're just about ready to roll, man. It was fun to get back into it, to get back into that format. So, yeah, man, looking forward to it.
Well, can't wait to have you, man. That's for sure. Anytime you're ready. I want to in the remaining movements, I want to thank all of my good friends who did pop in tonight. I really appreciate seeing you here, of course. A big shout out to the Texer who did pop in, who's listening. Texie, we always miss you, brother. And my great friend Flash here for joining me. You know, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I mean, you know, you don't show up enough, buddy. It's always great to have you. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. Of course, TG's gone, but, you know, still love to TG, Trekkie gal, Clobberdine's best pal, wherever you are, dear. I want to thank, of course, always absolutely honored beyond belief to see the great Steve Dom, my good friend, the Expert Comics website, by the way. If I had a way to find the link, I'd put that in there, Steve, but I'm remiss, I must admit. But he has a fantastic website. Just because I was bitching and moaning at the beginning of the show how I don't read any new comics anymore, but if you do read current comics and you do follow them, they have great reviews. He writes amazing reviews and opinion pieces, and it's just amazing stuff. It's a great, great site. Expert Comics. If I had the link, all right, we're able to get to it, Stevie. I put it in there. I forget it a lot of times. And I put, there we go. Good. You're the man. Appreciate it, Steve Dom. Of course, my good buddy, Rusquatch Gold. You're the man, buddy. I'm always appreciate you popping in here. The great Commodore Decker, Master of Basamawa. 10 p.m. Mondays and Friday nights. Acid Rock Radio, you old rascal. Good to see you, buddy. The captain on the bridge, Charlie Archer. Charlie, great to see you here, pal. And my fantastic friend, the Cobra, the Clutch, and the Live. All three of those things. Cobra, you the man. Good to see you there, buddy. And anyone else listening on the phone there, it was great to have you on there. And I got 90 seconds. I could play something. Let's see here. Let's pretend like we have in theme music just this once. Oh, yeah, and John Hilliard, by the way, thank you for popping in for money. It was great to have Flasher, what you been, how you been doing, man? You all right?
Yeah, been doing good, man. Haven't heard John for a while. We keep missing each other every other week. Mm-hmm. I do a show on Tuesday and Wednesday nights at a local bar, and I missed
really?
It this Tuesday. Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah, it was good to catch you this Thursday. So,
dude, it's always a pleasure to have you. I really appreciate it, man. The storm didn't get to you guys or anything.
Nothing.
Did you guys get
nothing.
Really?
We got maybe an inch of snow, but just
okay.
North of us, like maybe a 15-minute drive, they got hit
Damn.
Pretty good. I mean, nothing like
wow.
Nothing like New York or anything like. But it's just so weird, just that little separation, which is just a few miles. We went from, you know, maybe an inch at best to, I think they ended up with about 7 or 8 inches there. And then the eastern part of the state really got hammered. But, yeah, we got nothing.
Well, that's good, then. That's good. Excellent, buddy. Well, cool. I'm glad you did okay. Let's see here. I think I know that number. I know that one. I'm gonna say hello to a friend that I think popped on the scene. Would this be the Bandit?
What?
Who do we? Hello? No, it wasn't him, but it is Minimus. So, Minimus, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm wounded. Go on without me.
I think you know Flash, Minimus, Flash.
I even know Carrie. I hear that he's going to be in that new Star Wars movie, so congratulations. Just keep the fucking cinnamon buns off the side of your head, man.
The talks are on. The talks are on. That's all I'm going to say.
anyone who disses the Flash costume being in the Flash ring is definitely cruising for a bruising. That's all I'm going to say, man.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I was watching New Frontier today. I guess it was on Showtime. And the way they showed that Iris found out that Barry was the Flash, she walks in the room with his costume. How in the hell did she get her hands on his costume? Did she just like, oh, let me see that ring. Let's see what's this button for.
Oh, that one. I don't remember that part. I don't remember that part.
It was in the movie.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Wow. Yep. Yeah. There's a simple explanation for why that ring, or excuse me, that costume could have a ring in it. Flash, you know that?
The ring costume in
it. I'm all ears.
You know why? Well, just for that, I'm not going to tell you the reasons, because I don't really know it.
Because it's a comic book?
Because it's a comic book.
My wife points out stuff on TV. How can you do that? It's not a documentary. It's a freaking sitcom.
That's true.
See, I told you guys, it's a sickness. I know I'm pissing on something for no good damn reason.
Okay.
And I know it's a comic book, but there's just certain things I'm like, no, I'm not buying
that.
I'm not swallowing that.
When you're watching Big Bang Theory, Jeff Parsons is really a dumbass. He's not Sheldon Cooper. He's a fucking dumbass.
He is that. By the way, have you ever heard of Batman logic?
Batman logic? I don't think so.
How's he able to do that? He's Batman.
I invented it. Because I invented it. That's why you haven't heard of it. But I'll let you. Every time people would say something like, well, and it's happened, believe it or not. How did he do that? Because he's Batman. Yeah, but. Because he's Batman. Yeah, but. Because he's Batman. But he's Batman. That's why. Got it? Batman could do that. Why?
That should be enough.
He's back. And by the way, that applies to other characters too. I've never forgot. It. You remember? I guess it's the James Bond season, and I haven't seen the new Bond movie yet. Claude, as he likes it, I'm going to go see it Saturday. I hope, but I don't know if you've seen it, Carrie. But someone was whining about James Bond doing something pretty impossible one time, or so I forgot exactly where it was on the radio. Actually, a radio show. I called into a guy who was making fun of and bitching and moaning about something Bond did that was pretty outrageous. That, you know, of course, a human real no one could really do, right?
Right. Like when he jumped the bridge and did a barrel roll and landed perfectly on the other side.
No, it was when the airplane falls off the cliff and he jumps down to it and then gets in it and then takes off. And GoldenEye, which I wasn't a big fan of, but Side the point. I was so aggravated with this ass. I called him on his radio show. This is back in the, what was that, the 90s. And they said, well, you know something? There's a reason why that works. And James Bond, there's a really important reason why James Bond can do that. So the guy's all ears. He's like, well, really? So why? And I said, because he's James Bond.
Yeah, and it's the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
At
right.
the beginning of the movie,
enough.
When James Bond crashes a plane and dies, there's not really much more of a story to tell.
Right. And he said, but he's leaving. So I said, it's James Bond. It's like you just said about it's not a documentary. It's
yeah.
James Bond. He can do shit like
it's
that.
Called,
and I had
the,
on the time I got to with the guy, he was like, okay, felt better about it. He said, yeah, it's. I said, you're not supposed to believe it.
It's kind of the thing that they've issued in the New 52. It's called suspicion of disbelief. Even
right.
if you know it's impossible, just sit there and watch the damn thing. My brother was a navigator on a C-130 plane. It's a huge freaking plane. And we went to see Die Hard 2. And, oh, my God. If the plane crashed like that, it wouldn't blow up. The wings might break up, but there was only fumes in it. Shut up. Shut up. And it was over. When it was over, he actually did say something that calmed me down a little bit. He said, yeah, the physics were wrong, but that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
It's a fucking movie. I mean, again, I don't mind a little, by the way, a little fun nitpicking is one thing, because we all do it. But if you're doing it from the standpoint of, you know, you're just kind of having fun with it, you're not supposed to believe in it. Like, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, is one of the great movies ever, but how the fuck did they not know a planet blew up? Okay. They weren't watching? Why'd Kirk just leave them bitches out there on a planet to die? You know, like, well, you know, you can't, the planet blew up, nobody knew about it. Really. They didn't know it was SETI Alpha 5. And when you think about it, you go, don't try to explain it. It's a fun movie. It's a great movie. Who cares? But it is kind of fun to make the joke, to joke around about it. It's not going to kill anybody. You know, it's not going to kill you to that was kind of.
I would try to remove the stick out of my ass.
But
you can leave it there. Just sort of move it side to side once in a while.
Okay. That might work too.
As long as it's not an arrow. In your ass.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Especially a boxing glove arrow.
Yeah, a boxing glove arrow in the ass. That would just be. It's a trick arrow. Now,
I would actually
Like
I said, I would kind of like to see one of those now.
Yeah. And
maybe
they'll do that on Arrow. You never know. Maybe the show will become the happy go lucky. Maybe we'll have an arrow car like he did in the 40s or something.
An arrow cave, arrow car, and an aeroplane. Get it?
Aeroplane.
That's right.
It's aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, shite. Yeah.
His sister's an arrowhead.
Yes.
Yeah, I have been watching it, and I don't hate it. I don't hate it like I hated Smallville. But I just got to say, I never really cared two craps about Green Arrow anyway, except Longbow Hunters. Yeah, maybe one other thing, but I honestly
heroes.
Don't. They could do an Aquaman, and I wouldn't care.
Yeah, well, they tried that, didn't they?
Well, they tried. They shot. They actually shot I think it was a 15-minute pilot with Justin Hartley,
right.
The guy who played Green Arrow in Smallville.
Right.
Yeah.
He played Aquaman.
Right.
It's on YouTube. You can probably find it on there.
No thanks. I have total faith in the fact what you said is factual, and I don't need to fact check it by watching it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I got a brand new toy in that I want to go bust out of the box and play with it. My Starman, who really should be called Starboy action figure.
No.
I got to take his head off and
something.
Put his other head on.
I thought it was something that was going to need inflation, so I was just going to go ahead and let you go anyway.
Puncture repair kit on standby, sir. It's a puncture repair kit. All right, well, thanks, Flash. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I'm going to take this stick out, and I'm going to go move this stick to the side.
Leave it in.
Yeah, leave it in. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to jam it up farther.
Fuck it. There you
it's
go.
Like a
look.
Gear shift.
As long as you go forth into the street and tell everyone to listen to the Clobber in Time. And Minimus, just go forth
yeah,
into the
just
street.
Go forth into the street. Yeah. Screw you.
Whack it.
All right, guys. Later.
Later. Bye-bye.